life engineering, processes that combine science, wisdom, and spirituality to build a life of alignment. Joining Dr. Pat is your host, Gabriella Embon, bringing you bi-weekly wisdom nuggets, your step-by-step guidance to build a life of no regrets. Stay tuned as they uncover powerful processes for you to realize your true potential. Are you ready for some magic wisdom? Life engineering starts now.
Hey, everybody, I'm Dr. Pat, and I want to welcome you to a great show. This is one of the most important conversations of not only of this year, but as we go into next year, you're going to find it show up over and over and over again. How to open our capacity to trust. Why is this so important? Gabriella, thank you for taking on this topic. I know it's important to me, but it's especially important to you. As you know, look, you are coaching people from all over the world, and they are entrusting their lives to you, their careers to you. From where you sit, talk about trust and how this has showed up in your life and why it's become so significant to you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's all about opening our capacity to trust. It's not I trust or I don't. Of course, it's not a black and white. And as we previously in the previous show, we talked about opening our capacity for more joy. Here, today, we're going to focus on trust. And I want to start by telling you a story because we are going back 15 years ago, and I thought that I trust my husband. I was at the time married for 10 years, and I thought I trust my husband very much. And I don't need to open my capacity to trust him more. And then that was put to a test. And the test was that at my daughter's daycare at that time, they were doing a fundraising, and the fundraising was Dancing with the Stars. So they asked for parents to volunteer to dance as a competition. They said, we're going to give you an instructor. We're going to teach you how to dance, and you compete, and we're going to make a fundraising out of that. So I said, I'm in. And my husband kind of said, okay, well, if you're in, obviously I'm in too. Although there were groups for women only. And everything was going really smoothly until the instructor said, how about we were dancing Latin music, okay? And the instructor said, how about we add a jump?
Whoa.
And I said, sure. I mean, why not? He's taller than me. He's bigger than me. What can go wrong? Well, let me tell you, nothing went wrong except that I had a very difficult time just throwing myself in the air and expecting him to catch me. And that's when I realized that I could definitely increase my capacity for trust. It was a great exercise. Seriously speaking, it was a great exercise on trusting. Just being in the air and trusting he will catch you.
Yeah.
Trusting with your body, trusting with your life. So we can always increase our capacity for trust. And I love the word trust. The reason that I love the work, the process, the work that entails to open our capacity for trust is because trust, for me, has many other beautiful virtues hidden or integrated in that word. The virtues of communication, the virtue of acceptance, accepting other people for who and what they are, honesty, respect. So we're going to be talking more about that today. I'm very, very excited for this topic.
Yeah, it is so seriously important. And it is one of the most least understood. You know, when I think about the word, I didn't think about it very much until I went back to school. And then I was able to reflect on my life and think about what are some of the potholes that caused me to stay stuck in life, to not trust. So you're going to take us through this today, right? Yeah. Look, thank you for that beautiful story, because I love Latin dance. And you know what? If somebody would ask me, like, are you ready for the jump? I would have had to go home and think about it. So yeah, let's kick this off.
Well, that's a beautiful way of increasing our capacity for
yes,
trust.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Painful, right? It can be fun. But seriously speaking, trust is very important. A life without trust, of course, it's lonely.
And it's painful.
It's yes, it's painful, it's lonely, it's isolated. Yes, in a way we can keep us, it can keep us safe because we don't let anybody else, but at the same time, yeah, we're very much isolating ourselves, and not just isolating ourselves from interaction with other people, we're actually also preventing ourselves from experiencing our purpose and our calling, yeah, and what we're here to experience, because we need other people. Right? We come here to serve. So our calling is always connected to other people. So we need people to fulfill ourselves, to have meaning, to feel meaning. So when we are not trusting, we're obviously depriving ourselves from that beautiful sense of fulfillment. And we're talking about fulfillment, trusting other people, trusting ourselves, of course, and trusting God. Or whatever you believe in. So as we increase our capacity for trust, we're also increasing our capacity for fulfillment, for joy, for a more wholesome life. And that's one of the reasons that is so important to work on that. And the other one, the other reason that I find is important to work on trust is because lack of trust keeps us in a very vigilant survival mode. Right? Yeah. It puts our body in stress, and that, of course, impacts our body, our mind, our spirit. And if we are operating from survival or from avoidance or guarding or keeping safe from, of course, it's very difficult to thrive, because thriving comes from our higher self, our soul, and not from the part that is trying to keep us safe and survive. So,
yeah.
That's another reason why we want to increase our capacity, so we can really rise to new levels of fulfillment. Of course, it's not as simple, easily said than done, but it's worth it.
It's so worth it. And I want to just say this. I don't know if we'll have time during this show, but when I can, I will. It was so significantly important to the body of research I did for my doctorate and postdoctorate that we had to include an entire section on the role of trust in psychological contract development, maintenance, and violation. It had never really been studied before in terms of what causes it, what can moderate it, between this thing called that we call promises between two people. Now, I'm going to stop there, because my research was, let's just say, it was the first. There's so much more that we need to learn about it, but you're going to tell us why and how to grow the capacity. Without the capacity for trust, it is so difficult to even think about keeping promises.
That's right. And listen, when we don't develop the ability to trust, we keep small. Even in my business, right? I thought I can do everything and nobody's going to do it as me. So as long as I kept that belief, right, and that mindset, it was keeping me small, because I can do everything. The moment I learned to trust and allow other people to help me, not only they do it better than me in certain most of the time, but it allows me also to grow. So lack of trust keep us survive in survival mode. It keep us small. It prevents us from thriving, as we said before. But trust is one of the virtues we come to learn and master. And there's so much to learn about that. Let's take a look at the history of when you are in the womb, right? You are in complete trust. Not that you're asked, but you are in complete trust that all your needs are being met. So as children, we inherently trust our parents. We trust that they will provide our needs. Even after you're born, you trust that your parents will provide all your needs, right? As a toddler, you continue to trust your parents to the point that if your needs are not met, young children tend to blame themselves. They will not blame their parents, right? And if you look at how we often play with babies, we throw them to the air, right? We throw babies to the air and they trust we will catch them. They usually laugh hysterically and they don't doubt that we will catch them, right? It's fun. So, and then of course, as we grow up, as you use the word promises, people break our trust, break promises, and we start believing that people are not trustworthy, but also we start doubting ourselves, because clearly I cannot trust myself if I entrusted this person with my secret and that person went away and told everybody else, right? Yeah. So I cannot trust my intuition. I cannot trust myself. Yeah. So those broken promises not only create a lack of trust towards others, but also affects our self-trust, which is also very important to develop as well, our judgment as well. So that's when we understand we have to do healing. We all carry betrayal, right? Betrayal is when somebody broke our trust. The feeling we usually feel is betrayal. Some people say, you stabbed me in the back, you used that information against me. We all carry betrayal, and it's our job to do the healing. The more we heal the betrayal from the past, the more we learn discernment about trust. Trust should not be given automatically.
Right.
It should be an option that people can earn your trust. You are open. You go, I'm open for business. I'm open for my trust to be earned. Show me. And then I will give you my trust. But in the beginning, children give trust automatically without that discernment. So that's part of what we are here to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. Enormous capacity. Children have enormous capacity for trust out of the get-go, right? Until something happens or something is said to cause them to modify it, right? But out of the gate, they trust you're going to feed them. They trust you're going to care for them. They trust that you're not going to be mean to them. They trust ... fill in the blanks, right? I cry, you're there, mom. I mean, they do trust that until the point they can't anymore. And so when they can't, it causes, let's just say a blemish on their capacity to trust. And that's what you're talking about. We learned this at an early age. And that's so right. Now what you're talking about is we have to heal this in order to expand our capacity as adults.
That's right. Because when we learn it at an early age, there's no discernment, right? We assume that we can trust everybody. And as promises are being broken or people break our trust, then we tend to go to the other extreme. Well, the brain goes, I'll fix this. I'll trust no one, just myself. And that's when the healing is the understanding that not everybody has earned our trust and not everybody is trustworthy or behaves trustworthy. It's to forgive those who betray us and then have the discernment of who to trust, but also be open for people to earn our trust and learn who should be in our inner circle, right? Yeah. Because not everybody should be in our circle of trust. I call it our inner circle. But one tip that I have used with myself and with clients in learning to forgive those who betray us, who broke our trust, is to realize what we learn from that. And probably we learn right from wrong. We learn what integrity is, how lack of integrity feels, what loyalty is, what discernment is. And once you acknowledge what you learn from that, is to really tell that person in your mind, of course, I no longer want to use you. I no longer want to use you to learn loyalty, discernment, integrity, right from wrong, how not to behave. Because in a way, if you look at this from a much more spiritual perspective, these are two souls that are serving each other. And if somebody can betray us, it's because that soul agreed to play that role so we can learn something. So we're using that soul, right? So I no longer want to use you to learn this.
Yeah, yeah.
How liberating is that?
It puts so
you, rather than being the victim,
yeah,
it empowers you to realize that unconsciously you chose this, you learn, and now you consciously can choose to change this, to have it differently.
Yeah. Now, look, I want to make sure everybody knows, Gabriella, that I mean, this is a phenomenal series, but I want to make sure people know how to get a hold of you, how they can become coaches, how they can learn about the academy, because we have so many people now, especially women, they're looking to expand. You know, they've learned something from the past 3 years, and what they're doing now is, I want to be more. Please tell people how they can do that by learning about what you've created.
We have a life coaching certification. Well, at the Coaching Academy, we teach the life coaching certification that incorporates healing and entrepreneurship. But we also teach the beautiful Theta Healing technique from Vaiana Steibel, the founder, which is a fantastic, fantastic tool to heal ourselves and to increase our capacity for manifesting more and tapping into all parts of ourselves.
Yeah. What's the website people can go to?
Coachingacademy.net. Yes.
Thank you. Look, I want to talk to you about this. It has been well known by social scientists about the importance of trust. It is not well known, nor was it researched, nor has it been since the body of research I did to really look at trust in organizations. But there are several reasons that trust has a very strong influence. And let's just break it down to regular people language. Look, for those of you out there, psychology contracts are very simple. They are the exchange between two people. It is the, and before my research, it was never studied between two people. But here's what I want to ask you. It is the exchange. And what we now know about these contracts, better known as promises. Look, if I say, Gabrielle, I'm going to do a show with you today, right? I am promising to do a show. And on my end, I'm obligated. If I don't show up, that is a broken promise. You will not trust me anymore. So let's carry this forward and talk about how we can expand our capacity to trust. And I'll tell you this, despite the exchange process being broken, right?
Yes, despite, because despite. Nobody, that's right. Nobody is perfect. You know, one of the probably you talk about organizations, but I think that the institution that is so much built on trust is the army. When people are in difficult situations, when they are in survival situations, they have no choice. They learn to trust each other out of no choice, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when we are in survival, we tend to have an easier time trusting people and trusting God because we have no choice. Right. And everybody, unite people for a common cause, which is to survive, clearly. But what happens when we're not in the army? What happens when we are not in that situation? Hopefully we're not in those situations. How do we actually foster and build trust in our relationships? And again, the trust, we want to build trust with ourselves. We want to build trust with God, and we want to build trust with people. And it all boils down to communication and connection, right?
Yeah.
So I would like to share some tips on how to do that. And then I'll tell you a story about that, a test that I was put into by my son. Okay, let's talk about five tips to increase trust in our relationships. One is, of course, to set clear boundaries and values of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in the relationship, whether it's at work with my colleagues, whether it's in the army, whether it's with my partner, whether it's with my kids. When we have these clear boundaries and we say, this is what's my red line, this is what's acceptable and what's not, we are fostering respect and safety. Because if I know what lines are not to cross, then the other person that I'm in a relationship with will feel safe, right? So again, communication of the red lines, of the values and the boundaries. The second one is a different type of communication. It's communication of the goals, right? Have clear goals and make sure that everybody is aiming the same direction. Everybody's going to the same direction. Everybody's in the same goal boat and working towards the same goal. That also helped us develop trust. Obviously, in the army, it's very clear what the goal is, to do what you have to do and stay safe. But in our relationships, especially with partners, sometimes in families, we see that everybody has no clue where they're going. And that, of course, will weaken the relationship and create the opposite. Oh, you betray me. Well, we haven't communicated. We're not all going to the same, in the same direction. So communication of goals, extremely important. Boundaries, where we're going. And making sure the third one is that we communicate to understand. We don't assume, and we ask plenty of questions. We want to understand. Because usually the first level of communication is coming from a defensive mode or the upper layer. But we don't understand what's under. So we want to understand what's motivating somebody, what's making somebody tick, why they're doing what they're doing. Most of the time it's not because they want to betray us. There's something else. So communication to understand is the third one. The fourth one is respecting the differences. So people can feel safe to be who they are, don't compare people, and respect everybody as they are. When people feel that you don't want to change them, right? They feel safe and they trust you. I trust you because I know you don't want to change me. I know you accept me. That's why I said that trust has acceptance in it. You accept me as I am. And the last and the fifth is to nurture the relationship, to spoil the other person, to see what's good in the other person, to make them feel good, right? Not just to make them feel safe, but to elevate them, to make them feel good. So when I'm elevating myself, I'm also helping those around me elevate themselves too. And I find that these are five critical points that when we start becoming aware and making the effort to operate that way, we are building relationships that are built on trust. And the level of fulfillment in those relationships is unprecedented. Yeah. Does it make sense?
It's the foundational piece for all that we are. I mentioned to you earlier at the top that we've come out of 3 years. So people call it whatever you want, but people are forever changed. They are now attempting to build their capacity to trust again. But even more than that, we can look at the personal relationships in our lives, and we could take a look at how can we nurture that relationship? How can I today now see the good in people? Can I do that one tip that you just left us with for a moment? If I just focused on that, how might my day change for the better, right? Isn't that what we're trying to say here too?
Absolutely. And for me, the ultimate test is with teenagers, right? Because teenagers don't trust their parents. And it's okay, it's meant to be that way. So they develop their identity. But the other day, my son, I talked to him about something. And then he came out of the room and said, "I don't remember. Did you ask me to do something?" And I said, "No, I didn't. I asked you if you want supper." I don't remember what it was. And I thought to myself, wow, he must have trusted me, because I could have, at that moment when he said, "Did you ask me to do something?" I could have said, "Yes, I need you to empty the dishwasher and put the laundry," stuff that they do regularly. But at that moment, I didn't ask anything, but I could have used that. I could have taken the opportunity, right? And see, what can I get from you right now? How can you help me right now? But I didn't. So I said, "No, I didn't ask you anything." And I found that the fact that he trusted me to ask without fearing that I will take advantage of the opportunity was a great test. And, you know, when my mom visited this summer, she said, "It's incredible how when you ask your kids," and she was referring to the boys that are teenagers, "you ask them for something, they actually do it and they listen to you and they come to you." And I said, "It's true." And I said, "I think it's because we have built a relationship of trust." And then I ponder so much more about that. And I realized that probably the reason is that if I ask one of them to throw the garbage, and I knock on their door, I open the door and I see them playing on the computer. And I said, can you please throw the garbage? They will say, does it have to be now or can it be in half an hour? And I would say, no. If it can be in half an hour, I'll say, no, you can finish your game and then throw the garbage. Mm-hmm. But if it has to be now, if it's urgent or important, I'll say, no, I need you to do that now. And because I don't abuse that, I don't always say it's important, I need you to do now. Right, they trust me. So basically what I'm saying is I respect you're playing video games. I don't see my needs more important than you're having fun with your video game. But when I say if we are invited for supper and they don't want to join us, they will ask, is it important? And sometimes I say, this is important for me. I'm asking you to attend, they will. But many times I say, you know what? It's not. If you prefer to stay, you can stay. So it's because there's so much respect and nurturing at the same time, you know, we spoil them. I think that's why they trust. When I call them, they will come because they know I won't abuse the power per se.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to you before. There's a mutual exchange that has happened over time. And that's that time has set up beautiful expectations where each of you understands the other. But you're right about respect. It is one of the top things people believe they're obligated to. Thank you for today. What do you want to leave us with today? Thank you for doing this show. It's such an important message, Gabriella.
I love this topic. Thank you, Dr. Pat, for bringing this up, because I know it was this a topic you brought up. So listen, when we are young, right, we let everybody into our party. There's nobody guarding the door of our party because we consider that the more people in our party, right, the more cool we look. The wiser we become, the older we become, the more we mature, we start getting discernment of who should be in our party. We put a guard at the entrance, and not everybody should be in our inner circle. Not everybody's trustworthy. And not only that, we are okay with not having many people in our inner circle. We teach this in the You and Your Inner Circle Theta Healing class. We are okay with that. That it's not about how many people are there, but who is actually there, the quality of the people. And the fact that you love somebody, it doesn't mean that they should necessarily be in your inner circle. I always say, you love your three-year-old. Do you trust them? For the most, no, right? So in your inner circle, it's not just the people that you care for, but the people that you can trust. And usually, the older we become, these are not many. And that discernment, it's very liberating.
Yeah. Look, thank you so much for taking this topic out. Again, tell people how they can find out more about you and how they can find out more about the Academy.
They can always visit us at coachingacademy.net. And there's a contact form. We'll be happy to talk to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Gabriella. I want to thank all of you for tuning us in and turning us on. Right, Gabriella? I mean, this is an invitation for people to really expand their capacity to trust. Thank you for doing that.
To be open. To be open. The fact that you were betrayed doesn't mean that you cannot trust again. Remember that. I think that if there's one tip to remember is that you can heal from betrayal. And you can empower yourself by saying, I no longer want to use you, to learn loyalty, discernment, integrity, right from wrong, and all these beautiful virtues. And then you're not the victim anymore.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. We'll see you next
time.
Thank
you, Dr. Pat.
Wow.
You have been listening to Life Engineering, processes that combine science, wisdom, and spirituality to create a life of alignment on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join host Gabriella Embon and Dr. Pat every first and third Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific for bi-weekly wisdom nuggets on how to create your perfect synergy between your mind, body, and spirit in order to realize your true potential. For more more information, visit Gabriella@coachingacademy.net.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.